everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Tom Fairbanks, my buddy, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass in the control room. Tom, I could get very used to this type weather, you know, 60s, year-round in Tucson. Could you imagine if we had this kind of weather?
People, you know, our population would probably triple or quadruple.
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
And I want you to remind me 6 months from now when you hear me complaining about how hot it is and all that, say, Bill, remember back in that mid-January?
Yes, I'll suggest that a trip to the mountains.
There you go. Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. It is Friday. It's the 14th of January, 2022. We are on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. The call letters KVOI, like The Voice. This week, or actually the first week of the new year, we marked the start of our 12th year with the radio show, and actually my 34th year on TV and radio here in Tucson. We have our worldwide live listening and podcasts on my show at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Friday, a quick shout out to our media friends who support us with prominently displaying the Buckmaster Show logo on their home pages, so folks can quickly link over to my website and get all the podcasts. Dylan Smith, thanks, Dylan, at TucsonSentinel.com. Green Valley News, Saharita Sun supporting us. That's Dan Shears' gang, and then Jim Ninsel and his team at Tucson Local Media. Jim, of course, from the Tucson Weekly, Inside Tucson Business, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Joining me, my guest reporter today on the live line, the 2021 Arizona Newspaper Association Journalist of the Year and the 2019 Arizona Press Club Journalist of the Year award winner, Tim Stellar. Tim, how are you? How is your 25th anniversary here at the Star going this week?
It's going good. Can you indulge me a 30-second story?
Yeah,
Bill,
sure.
Related to that. So, yeah, I arrived in Tucson 25 years ago this week. It's probably about the 10th. It was a Saturday, and it was cold. It was like, I think the low that night was in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
But my landlord and I had not understood. I moved from Flagstaff. I had not understood that I needed to get my Southwest gas account going on my own. So I got to my little apartment, it was kind of like a townhouse, and found the heat wasn't working.
Oh, no.
Yep. So that night I slept in front of, there was a fireplace, however, and having moved from Flagstaff, I had a little store of firewood that I had brought down. And so I made a fire in the little honeycomb fireplace and put out a sleeping bag and a pad slept in front of the fire my first night in Tucson as the temperature inside dipped into the 30s.
Yeah, I bet it was a bit chilly.
Tim,
we want to welcome our Friday Focus interview, Deputy Tucson Police Chief Eric Kazmierczak, who has been in public safety with the city of Tucson since 1998. He's worked in the Southwest Midtown Patrol Divisions. He's held several positions with TPD, including leading the Administrative Services Bureau. Eric, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me, Bill. 1 year after, apparently, Tim Stellar got here, I arrived in Tucson. And it's surprising, Tim, how many people that you talk to that don't live in Tucson that don't recognize that it gets really cold here in the evening, right?
I didn't recognize that. I didn't understand that.
Well, congratulations on your award last year. I hadn't heard that.
Eric, yeah. You're the number two person at TPD. You've known the new chief and generally some of your feelings about a seamless transition. I think this was exactly the right way for Tucson police to go as Chris Magnus goes back to Washington and has a huge job back there with the Border Patrol. Some of your thoughts about the new chief.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. First of all, I do want to thank Chief Magnus for the time that he spent here on this police department. He gave a lot of us an opportunity and got us to where we are today. And transitioning over to Chief Kazmar, my appreciation. Chief Kazmar was approved by the city council by a 7-0 vote, which does speak volumes, I think, for both the preparation that Chief Magnus put into developing Chief Kazmar for the role that he's taken today. And speaks volumes about their confidence in this police department. There have been some challenging times, but I think what Chief Kazmar is going to bring is some stability. We didn't have to go through the ambiguity of a national search and the time that people are wondering who their next police chief is going to be. We have some stability now with Chief Kazmar, who's going to bring a strategic vision moving forward for the priorities of this organization and where we're going to go and what we're going to focus on. And I think from the conversations that I've had internally and knowing Chief Kazmar for as long as I have, he's the right person for this job here in this town.
The challenges with COVID, I heard TUSD Superintendent Trujillo on our show this week say, it's not just education, but pretty much every business, Eric, it's all hands on deck.
That is absolutely the case for us. I was reading an article before I came in here this morning about the rules that Banner UMC is going to put in place. We have a significant number of our staff who are facing quarantine or in quarantine right now because of exposures. It feels to me like everybody around me in my bubble has either had COVID or has it right now. This spike is challenging. As we were talking before we came on the show, I think we're going to my fingers are crossed that we're going to see as precipitous a reduction in the cases as we've seen an increase. And hopefully that comes sooner than later, because we have staff out there who are already short because of a staffing challenge on the police department, and who are now shorter because we have 50 or 60 people on quarantine.
Chief Kazmierczyk, how many did you say? 50 to 60?
Yeah, I don't have the exact number right now, Tim, but I think last I knew yesterday, I think we were in the 50 or 60 quarantine rate, and we're down 125 on top of that. That's a challenge for us.
Yeah, what do you mean when you say we're down 125 on top of that? Are you talking about the overall number of sworn officers or what?
Yeah, our authorized staffing rate is just over 880, and today we're 125 under that. So we're in the mid 700s right now for authorized staff.
And what is what's going on with that? Is the pace of attrition staying the same, or are you losing fewer officers? Are you losing more officers?
We had
what's going on with that?
Yeah, we had a bad couple of months attrition wise about 10 to 12 months ago, and so that if you look at a 12 month average, as those months start to drop off, our attrition rate should start to level off. We usually see about 6 a month. Last year for 2021, we were hovering around 8. 8 a month, or just over that, in terms of attrition. But some good things have happened to the police department. The council passed a market adjustment for city employees, and that had an impact on our attrition rate. And like I said earlier in my opening comments, the stability that not having to worry about a selection process for the next chief has, I think, increased morale. Chief Kazmar. I knew I was going to do that. I've known Chief Kazmar for 22 years. So
I understand,
Chief Kazmar.
You
if you're listening, if you're listening,
help train the guy.
My apologies,
okay.
But Chief Kazmar is somebody that the police officers here know and respect, and I think that's going to have a stabilizing effect to that attrition rate as well, and the getting out the message. We're all recruiters for this police department, and this town. I've been here almost as long as you, Tim. I have a great love for Tucson, and I think the police officers and the staff that are working on this police department do as well. And getting that message out, right, that this is a great place to work, this is a great town to work in, and I think those things combined, we'll be able to turn that around.
So staffing level is certainly at the lowest level since you began your career at TPD in the 1990s. Now, what's very concerning is if someone calls 911 with an emergency, the average response time, I understand, is at an all-time low.
Yeah, I was reading that article. Reading that article as well. When you have a staffing shortage that we have, the calls for service don't stop, and we're committed to getting to those calls, and we're trying some different strategies. Whether it's through community service officers, the mayor and council are forward looking with the community safety, health, and wellness program. This is going to take an effort beyond just the police department to get the right response to the right folks. Because and we've talked about this before, the police department is not always the right responder for every 911 call, and our hope is that we are able to build that structure and that framework with additional response mechanisms, either city government or co-responder models through services provided in Tucson, because we recognize that we have a challenge there.
911 is being used by some people as a primary care physician, and even a step further right now, 911 is getting calls, I need a COVID test and I need somebody to come out to my home. What can you say?
We can say that the police department is not the right mechanism for that, and we're big supporters of getting the right people out to that, and anything we can do to get that message out and to increase those resources. There's a component of that's healthcare funding. And I think that's a challenge at the state and federal level that we're certainly aware of, but I don't know how big a role we can play in that, to get the resources here to help us with those type of things.
Chief, last year was, as you know, really record bad year for homicides in Tucson. There's a lot of different things I could ask you about that, like why and whether it was connected to other acts of violence that also went up. But really, I think the biggest question is what can we do and what can you do as a department to depress that number, to make there be fewer killings in Tucson?
Yeah, last year, historic record. We had of those cases, I think 86% of those cases were related to gun violence. So as a community, a conversation around responsible gun ownership is certainly something that we support and are advocates for. The first-time gun ownership is increasing, and the more firearms that you put in the community, the more chances there are to have a tragic outcome. So anything that gun owners can do to lock those up, to not leave them in open cars, to make sure they're properly educated on how to use and be safe with a firearm is certainly a priority. In terms of policing strategies, I think, obviously we've talked about the resource challenge that we've got. We have to be smarter about how we deploy our resources. So that looks like, for us, things like police network investigations, where we recognize through concerted efforts to analyze the data, where hotspots are for crime and where hotspots are specifically for violent crime.
That's called hotspot policing.
Yeah, the terminology we're using is place network investigations. But essentially, yes, mm-hmm. we know that there are locations within the city that are particularly susceptible to violent crime. And if we can address resources there, and I'm not just talking about enforcement resources, right? This is a collaborative effort. Stakeholders that are not just wearing blue uniforms with a police patch will be brought to the table in an effort to improve that environment and those environmental conditions that sometimes lead to those issues.
Tim.
Go ahead.
I hate to interrupt you, Tim, but we do need to take the break. And Tim, are you ready for me to talk about your favorite bakery in town?
Yeah, sure. Anytime.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah, there you know. I know Eric is as well. It's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're open right now for lunch. They open at breakfast time at 6:30. Their website really looks great. It's monasdanishbakery.com. Check on the menu and some beautiful pictures accompany each menu item, little description, and believe me, after you take a look, you will want to go up to Mona's and find out what all the excitement is about. They had a great holiday season, but if you're looking for some kind of comfort food right now, I mean, there is so much anger out there. David Brooks of the New York Times wrote today, America is coming apart at the seams. Well, everybody take a deep breath and head up to Mona's. And I think, I know Tom Fairbanks, our engineer producer, would second this. Wouldn't a Danish Kringle be great for Saturday morning to start the weekend? I think that would calm everybody down. Maybe, let's see, I would go with the almond filling on the Danish Kringle. Anyway, it's monasdanishbakery.com. More about policing in our community. Tim Steller sticks around on the live line. Tim from the Arizona Daily Star. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster on a Friday. Tucson Police Department Deputy Chief Eric Kazmierczak is with me in studio for our Friday Focus interview. Tim Steller is on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And Tim, before we took the break to talk about Mona's and our other great sponsors, I know you had a follow-up on the situation with homicides.
I guess my question is, what explained that sharp increase last year in Tucson? I know there are other cities that also had a similar thing, but I don't know. Is there some common thread that explains the increase?
That's one of the biggest challenges that we got right now is there is no common thread. I was on a call 2 weeks ago with other major city chiefs across the United States, and some of the conversation you hear from them is similar across the nation. Gun violence is up. There is a conversation about what's the right place to be for bail reform and the bond practices that are going on out there and the as it relates to violent crime. I don't have information about that here locally because I just don't know the numbers. But there isn't one distinct thread that is woven through those cases that we saw last year, other than like I mentioned, the fact that the vast majority of them, almost 90% of them, do involve a firearm.
Is that an indifferent from most years, though? Is it? I mean, generally speaking, most murders are committed with guns, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't have the numbers from previous years, but that would be my assumption as well.
Let's go to the live line. Matt has a question. Caller Matt has a question. Go ahead on policing in the city of Tucson. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I was Deputy Chief. I was going to say, yeah, I think the only commonality is the fact that it's a national trend. I really don't believe it's just Tucson. I think everybody's scratching their head trying to explain it, and I think part of it might be COVID-related. And just people's level of anxieties and just being cooped up. Real quickly, the CSOs that you guys are thinking of increasing, I think that's one plan that you have to try and address the shortage in officers. I heard that Chief Kazmar is thinking of increasing possibly traffic stops. And that part does concern me, but maybe you could give us some information about, is that part of the plan to try and address the overall policing matters? Thank you. Bye.
Absolutely. Thank you, Matt, for the question. Community service officers, I think we have 75 on the job right now. We'd ideally like to be in a place where that's, 200, 300 community service officers out there assisting patrol officers with some of the property crime-related calls for service, traffic collisions, crime scene processing, investigations on the back end through data analysis. There's a myriad of ways that we can use community service officers in our organization. As it relates to traffic enforcement, that's a great question. We see traffic fatalities in the last 2 years have been about level. I think we were in the 80s, almost 90 for the last 2 years in terms of traffic fatalities. We have seen a drop off, almost 60% decrease in traffic contacts over the last from 2019 to 2021. And the concern that I'm going to assume that you're talking about is how those traffic encounters disproportionately affect persons of color. And we are extremely cognizant of that. And what I will say about traffic contacts is they don't always have to be enforcement related. Sometimes the best traffic contact is one that provides education to the driver and doesn't result in a traffic ticket. And if we can change behavior on the road, I think everybody can Everybody will acknowledge that speeds have gone up, and when we're focusing those traffic enforcement contacts on those behaviors that are likely to result in fatal traffic accidents, reckless driving, inattention, speed, when we're focused on those, and we're doing so with the focus of education, I think we can be strike the right balance for the community.
Tim Steller, a follow-up on pedestrian deaths. You've been writing a lot about that in your column lately.
Yeah, it's been an interest that I've delved into off and on through the years. And I know last year there were 33 in the city of Tucson, which is about the same as the previous year and similar to the year before that. But that's been up by like three times, double to triple the numbers that we were having just 10 years ago, 7 years ago. So what can we do to reduce that?
You know, one of the things that I think we have to have a conversation around is traffic engineering. Enforcement and practices, police officers making traffic stops is but one strategy for traffic safety. If we can design our roads and our streets, and hopefully through some of the dollars that are going to come from the federal government, through some of the recently passed legislation, I know a good portion of that is going to be transportation related. Hopefully through smart road design and redesign, we can have an impact on both vehicle fatalities that are, car to car, and those pedestrian fatalities.
I wanted to bring up this. There have been a couple of high profile incidents that give the department really a bad look. One of them happened in a restaurant parking lot, and then we had the incident with the wheelchair at a Lowe's home improvement center. Bad look for Tucson Police Department. I know you feel really bad about that, and I'm sure most of the cops would feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's well said, Bill. Both of those are challenges for the organization. But if we look at ourselves, we have an opportunity here to be proactive and to be preventative. And that's through active supervision. That's through demonstrating that the right support for our police officers through training. Through wellness initiatives, through mental health services, we can do better in all of those areas. And I think Chief Kazmar has come into the department and has made those primary points of focus. If we have supervisors out there who are actively trying to be proactive in the health and wellness and the trajectory of an officer's career, getting them the right training, getting them the right resources, then we can have an impact on preventing those from happening in the future.
Tim Steller.
Let's break those two down because they're really pretty different, I think. One is the situation where an officer shot a man in front of a Lowe's entrance. And as I recall, the department has moved to fire that officer. And that man died, the man who was shot. He was in a wheelchair or a scooter. Separately, there was the one that I personally wrote about, which is the officer who had a conflict in a parking lot with three women who confronted him over what they thought was his bad driving in the parking lot. And he ended up taking them down physically, two of them. Anyway, so we know what's up with the first incident. What's up with the second incident where the officer took down two women in a parking lot and eventually police were called and such?
Yeah, the first incident, you're correct. That officer, the day after that incident, the department initiated termination proceedings, and I think just last week or the week before that, those were perfected in legal term, and that officer was terminated from the organization. The second incident still under administrative review, so. I'm not at liberty to get too far into depth with that, but suffice it to say that the department is taking a healthy look at that officer's actions and what happened there, and that's where that's at right now.
Tim, any follow-up on that, or did you want to go a different direction? Because I've got
Go ahead. Go for it, Bill.
Yeah, I just want to get back to staffing again. And one thing we didn't bring up, Eric, is the pipeline. What's going on with the academy? What does the staffing look like here as we get into 2022?
So staffing really is a function of two things. One, and Tim, you hit it earlier, is stopping folks from leaving the organization.
By the way, are they going to other departments, a lot of them, or is just a mixture of things?
It's a mixture.
Some are retiring out, some of whatever.
Correct, it's a mixture.
Some are going to Albuquerque. They see the billboard about a block from here says,
Come on, Bill.
Come to the Duke City. We've got all the great benefits for you over in Albuquerque.
Been to Albuquerque. I'll stay in Tucson.
There you go.
So stemming the tide of the attrition is certainly a function of that. But the pipeline of new police officers into the academy. So we started we're going to start an academy here in February, first week in February. We're hopeful to have 30 police officer recruits in that class. And if you look at where we've been recently for academy classes, that's a really positive number. We haven't been at that rate probably in the last 4 or 5 years.
These are men and women who go through how many weeks, Eric?
20, I think the number now is 25 weeks, 24, 25 weeks.
So it is not a quick process. You sign up, then you got to go to the academy.
Yeah, then you go through 16 weeks at least of field training. So you're at 42 weeks pretty quickly.
Whoa.
Of training before you're solo as a police officer.
So not an overnight fix to the staffing situation.
Not an overnight fix. We just put 28 CSOs into a police academy, a really diverse group of men and women. To bolster those ranks. So on top of the 75 that we have now, we got 28 that are in the training pipeline. That's a shortened training process. It's only 6 or 7 weeks in the academy setting, and then another field training program on top of that. But we realize the benefit of those folks coming on the police department a little quicker than our police officers. And the goal is to continue that trajectory, you know, to see classes in the 30 or 40 person rate for police officer here in the next two classes in 2022. And if we can do both of those, right, if we can reduce our attrition rate and we can increase our hiring through some improved marketing strategies and getting the word out that this really is a great place to work, I think we'll be on our way to improving that. But you hit the nail on the head. This is not something that we're going to solve by February 1st.
Okay. What about officers who left or were fired? I don't know if there were any. Because of the vaccine mandate, the city's vaccine mandate, is there any, how many were either let go or chose to leave?
We had one officer, Tim, that was terminated as a result of, not complying with the vaccine policy. And we were very happy with that. We had a lot of officers recognize the value of the vaccine, and some took the opportunity through the city's policy to file it for an exemption, and that was granted. One officer as a result of that.
Was there a separate number that left voluntarily in protest or just because they didn't feel like?
Not that I'm aware of. We had some retirements and at about the same time, but those were not, I think, as a result of the vaccine. Not that I'm aware of, Tim.
Are you competitive with surrounding jurisdictions now? I mean, what are you offering a potential police officer in this town?
A new police officer recruit, their annual salary is their entry salary is $54,000.
Right off the bat. Even in the training then?
Correct.
They get that.
Correct.
Okay.
So that is competitive. That's better than what we're seeing in surrounding agencies. This is a competitive market. Everybody is, you talk to police chiefs across the United States and they're feeling the same pressure. Mm-hmm. So where one agency bumps up pay, you're going to see surrounding agencies do the same thing. But oftentimes this isn't just about pay. We have a really great benefits package on the city within the city of Tucson.
Health benefits.
Yeah, health care. We just within the last, I think maybe week, put in place a student loan repayment program. So if you come into the city of Tucson and you're hired with us, we will help you pay back those student loans that are that conversation is national right now, and how challenging those are for young people. So that's something brand new for us for as a recruiting mechanism. We have a lot of good things to offer, and it's oftentimes not just pay.
Tim, do you have a final question? We're quickly running out of time.
Sure. Just do you think that the attrition, is the attrition in police a separate phenomenon from the general resignations that we've been going on and have been referred to as the Great Resignation? Is there a different reason for police to be leaving at such fast rates?
I think police officers did have felt over the last 2 years some pressure. That has been unique to this profession. You know, we all feel the COVID thing. We're all like stressed out and tired of that. But I think in the last 2 years, we have felt pressure that's been unique to that. And some folks have opted to leave the profession because of that. But I guess my argument to that is this profession has changed so much over even just the 24 years that I've been here, and certainly over the course of its time, that what the community wants right now, I really believe, is better policing. And what better time than right now to become a police officer and have impact on what the future of this profession looks like, to align it with those community goals and those community needs. This is now the time where we have the opportunity to really shape this profession into something better than it is today. And I think we're starting to see that through some of the applications that we're getting and through the increased academy classes that we're seeing.
And it's the highly visible incidents is what you're referring to, some of the challenges that we've seen over the past 2 years.
Yeah. Certainly the national conversation around police reform and defunding and all that has been a thing for the last 2 years. Me personally, I feel as though there's been an easing of that sort of really tense rhetoric that we're hearing, and people are starting to recognize, what we actually were saying was we want you to be better at what you're doing. And I, for one, fully support that. If we're not developing ourselves, if we're not developing our organization to be better than it was today, then we're getting passed by.
All right, TPD Deputy Chief Eric Kazmierczak. Thank you, Eric, for coming in. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
All right, Tim Steller, stick around. Tim, I've got a couple of quick questions for you after we take the break in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back with Tim Steller of the Star.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowlands 1 and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our thanks to Tucson Police Department Deputy Chief. He's the number two person at TPD, Eric Kazmierczak. And Tim Steller is with us on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Tim, that was a very good, very transparent conversation with Eric, with the chief, about really the challenges, and this staffing issue is really serious right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's worrisome. Of course, we all in Tucson have gotten used to it, but the fact is, when you need a response and it's not, especially when it's not a violent emergency or a car crash with injuries. It's tough to get a response these days, or it just takes a long time depending on what else is going on in town. And that really is one of the key lifestyle, quality of life issues in the city right now. I mean, it's not just their obligation, but, it falls to them in large measure.
Tim, I've only got a couple of minutes. I want to congratulate you. It was 25 years ago this week that you began your career with the Arizona Daily Star. When looking back over your time here in Tucson, what do you think was really the big story? Is there anything that really stood out as far as you're concerned?
Oh, my God. There have been so many stories. I mean, a lot of what I wrote about all those years was not in Tucson. It was at the border in Mexico, northern Mexico, those areas, borderland areas. And frankly, that I think that would count as one of maybe the top 5 or 10 stories of that period. But there have been a lot of bad things and quite a few good things that have happened in that time. And we just had the anniversary of the mass shooting on January 2011. And that shook the city. It's still with us and will always be, I guess.
This issue with COVID, hopefully we're going to get this behind us in the rearview mirror. Maybe the cases will peak here. Some of the modelers, the people that do this at the universities, believe that we might see even a peak in the next week or so. But boy, I looked at the numbers a few minutes ago. We're well over now 2,000 cases. I believe that's certainly, well, I think it's a record for Pima County today. So this is a difficult period, Tim Steller, not only for police, but the educators. We had TUSD Superintendent Trujillo saying he's actually going to be in the classroom next week as a substitute teacher. He referred to it, Tim Steller, as all hands on deck. And I think that's the way it is in every career.
Yep, it is. And, you're seeing trouble with every single line of work. You've been hearing about trucking, probably. That's been a problem. And, the issue is, it's multifaceted, but on the one hand, most people aren't getting seriously ill with this variant of this virus. But on the other hand, so many people are that the small percentage so many people are getting infected that the small percentage who get seriously sick and maybe need to go to the hospital becomes a large number.
Yeah.
It's weird. On the one hand, I've for a long time felt kind of optimistic that this might be the last wave and that if we can get through this, we can get through the pandemic. On the other hand,
It is turning out. I mean, the hospitals right now, I know my colleague Patty Mackler, who is also my wife, is working on a piece that deals a little bit with what's going on in the hospitals. And it's worse than the numbers show. They are overwhelmed now. And this is something we've mostly avoided up to this point. But the transmissibility of the virus means that, yeah, it's hitting everyone or a lot of people and really, really sickening a few.
Well, I think it's touching everybody at this point. Some of the doctors are saying everybody's been exposed or shortly will be to this. And I really hope that we can peak here. But even after we peak, of course, we're going to have to get through the hospitalizations. But hopefully the number of deaths, Tim, that number has not kept up with the peak of a year ago.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I mean, people know the treatment. You know, the medical professionals have better treatments. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to still be hopeful. But, yeah, it's bad right now. And the quarantine rules, even the lighter rules that we have now of a relatively shortened quarantine and all that, still mean that when you get infected, you're out, and that just has a domino effect. I know my daughter's school had lots of teachers running around from room to room trying to keep classes going where teachers are absent. They may not even be sick or very sick. Many aren't sick, but if you get COVID, if you get a positive test, then you have to quarantine. So
all right. And Tim, I've got about 10 seconds. What can we look for in the column on Sunday?
I'm writing a piece about land acknowledgments. Those are the kind of statements that some governments and entities make related to indigenous presence on the land. And Pima County is considering land acknowledgment. So I'm writing about the issue more broadly.
All right, Tim, good talking with you, and congratulations on your 25th year anniversary here in town at the Star. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Bill. Take care.
Thanks a lot. We'll be back with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
It is time for Weekend Watch, hosted by our longtime Weekend Watch host, Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist. Weekend Watch, presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's about 60 degrees at midday over in Silver City. Perfect weather to get out and do some hiking in one of America's most beautiful national wilderness areas, the Gila National Wilderness. Check out what to do and where to stay. Some great places to stay and to eat as well in New Mexico at Silver City in Grant County. The website is southwestnewmexico.org. Here he is, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I mean, the weekend is here. I mean, not officially for a few more hours, but I always tell my clients, Bill Buckmaster said I can take the rest of the day off. It is Friday and happy weekend.
Is Dillinger Days back this year, Matt?
You know, after taking a year off, it absolutely is. The gangsters are making their return to Hotel Congress this weekend for the annual Dillinger Days. Of course, a series of events commemorating the capture of Public Enemy Number 1 right here in Tucson back in 1934. Now, it all starts tomorrow night at 7 with live swing music, some dancing girls, a gun show, some whiskey, of course, and a visit from John Dillinger himself, or a reasonable facsimile thereof. And on Sunday morning, they're going to host a reenactment of that capture and roll out the fully restored fire engines that were dispatched to Hotel Congress 88 years ago to put out that now famous fire. So the event is always a blast, no pun intended. So check it out this weekend.
You know, people are trying to eat healthy, a lot of them, and they're picking a place called Choice Greens.
They are, and you know what? It's always encouraging, Bill, when a local restaurant grows so much that they need a second location. And fans of the aforementioned Choice Greens on Speedway are celebrating their newest location on River and Campbell in Josler Village. This is a design-your-own chopped salad concept that offers more than 50 ingredients and 20 dressings. And, of course, there's a line of sandwiches and paninis and soups and mac and cheese and more for those who want to gobble up something other than greens. Either way, you're not going to leave hungry when you visit the newest location of Choice Greens.
And, Matt, as for the meat eaters...
Yeah, well, so, Bill, for those of us who've spent some time on the East Coast, the iconic lobster roll was part of many a food memory, that grilled sweet bun stuffed with fresh lobster. I can hear you drooling now.
Oh, my gosh.
Instead of rushing back to New England to get our fix, though, we can now go downtown to Forbes Meat Company, as they have just revealed some delicious new versions of these righteous rolls. One is a classic New England-style lobster roll with a kiss of caviar, and the other is an elote lobster roll, Tucson-style, with some Mexican corn. There's also live lobsters as well, so go get cracking this weekend at Forbes Meat Company downtown.
And quickly, in the Inside Tucson Business column...
It's the untold story behind the Delta, inspired by L.A. rock clubs and skateboards. What in the world does that mean? Check it out in Inside Tucson Business.
Thank you very much, Matt Russell. Have a great weekend, Matt.
Yeah, you tell. Thanks, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by our German friend, Christophan. Thanks to my assistant, Rose Brandt, everybody here at KVOI, including my longtime engineer and producer, Tom Fairbanks, and the entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson. Have a great weekend, everybody, and stay safe.